In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. It is said in the Gospel, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and then talking about John, speaking in the wilderness, preaching in the wilderness about making the path straight. But before that beginning, of course, Jesus was born. Jesus and John grew up. John was 6 months older than Jesus, and a man of about 30 when he began preaching. So the beginning of the Gospel, you could say, would be the birth of Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you could say it is the Annunciation, when the Incarnation began or was accomplished. Or perhaps you could say that the beginning of the Gospel, the beginning of the Good News, would be the birth of the Theotokos. Because with the birth of the Theotokos, when she grew up to maturity, she was the Mother of God. Now this was a secret beginning. No one really knew about it. She was born to two aged parents. No one expected her to be born because her parents were past the age of childbearing. But by the miracle that was prophesied by the Archangel Gabriel, they received a child. And they had promised to God that they would dedicate this child to the Lord. When she was 6 months old, her mother, Anna, put her on the floor. She immediately stood up and took 7 steps. That's very rare at 6 months old. And then her mother took her and said, "This child shall not touch the ground again until she is. We have dedicated her to the Lord." And perhaps you would question that kind of child rearing, but with God things are different. When we follow God's law, follows God's rule, follow the Holy Spirit speaking within us, things work out a little differently. And so Mary, despite the fact that she'd not been on the ground since she was 6 months old, when she actually came to the temple, the entrance of the Theotokos, at about 3 years old probably, she just walked right up the steps and into the Holy of Holies, led by Zacharias, who was, of course, the father of John the Baptist. So I would say that the beginning of the Gospel, in many ways, would be the Mother of God being born. And you could say in some ways the end of the Gospel, or sort of the fulfillment of the Gospel, the future promise of the Gospel would be the Dormition of the Theotokos, which is the last feast of the year. This is the first, and the Dormition is the last. Because when the Theotokos died, then she was put into a grave, actually into a cave, and they thought she was dead. In fact, she was dead. But sometime between her death and 3 days later, when Thomas showed up to be able to venerate her before her death, the Lord took her, soul and body, into heaven, as we will be, soul and body, body and soul, and we will be in perfection. Perfect body, perfect soul, no sins, no darkness, no sighing, no sorrow, only life everlasting, only blessedness, only happiness. So the Theotokos is sort of at the beginning and at the end of our salvation. Of course, the beginning is for the Lord to be born, and the end is all the things that he has accomplished as a man and as God for our sake. Living a perfect life as a human being, annulling the curse, dying for our sake, resurrecting himself so that human flesh can be resurrected. Of course, then showing that we will ascend with him by the ascension. But even more so, I think the ascension of the Theotokos tells us this. So all these things sort of line up. Now, when the Theotokos was born, the Jews were under Rome. Rome was, in some ways, a fair ruling nation, but they were brutal. To be under the thumb of Rome, if you stepped out of line, you would be crucified or put in prison. So it was a very hard yoke for the Jews. Of course, the Jews had many hard yokes before because they were stiff-necked and they were proud and they often disobeyed God. So they got themselves into trouble many times. I don't know how many times throughout the Old Testament. If you counted it up, it might be 300 times or so when it was clear that they were judged for their sins. But the Jews were languishing under the yoke of Rome. And a girl was born that many people didn't know about. The people in the temple knew about it. The high priest knew about it. Certainly Joachim and Anna knew. They died shortly after she went into the temple. But really, she was sort of just unknown. And yet, 15 years later, she would, as a young girl and a virgin, bear Jesus Christ. And 30 years after that, our Lord would begin his ministry and preaching. And about 3.5 years after that, he would be crucified. And only 3 days after that, he would be resurrected. And only 40 days after that, he would ascend into heaven and show us what will happen to us. And then 10 days after that, he sent the Holy Spirit upon us. And now we are in this age where the Holy Spirit comes into us in baptism and abides in us and shows us all things. This happened, all of this happened in a generation, in a lifetime of a person who would live not an average life back then, but a person who would, you know, get out of childhood diseases and such, they would live routinely to be 70 or 80 years old. And so indeed, within the lifetime of a human being, Mary was born, our Lord Jesus Christ was born, he had his ministry, and the church was strengthened. And now here we are, just in a very short period of time, just a few years. Now, we see things that happen in our society that I think some of us wonder, will it ever get better? Or will it be perhaps generations before it gets better? Perhaps it will be. Perhaps it may be generations. Perhaps there are generations left upon the earth. Or perhaps there are not generations left upon the earth. But no matter how many years remain for us, the Lord is not slow to keep his promises. The Lord is not slow to deliver us. It's just that his timing is different than our timing. Our timing is with impatience and with a certain, I think, core lack of belief. When Rome was ruling Israel, the Theotokos was growing up. And then she was bearing the God-man Jesus Christ, who was more or less invisible to Rome for about 30 years. And then all of these beautiful things happened in his ministry and his resurrection, his crucifixion and resurrection, the ascension, the sending of the Holy Spirit. All these beautiful things happened in their time. So as we celebrate the birth of the Mother of God today, let us just take a breath for a minute. The Lord is in everything. No matter how difficult our days will be, the Lord is present, and he will deliver us. There is nothing to fear, not the kind of fear that the world has. Now, a little bit of anxiety about what might happen, that's a human thing. Maybe preparing for things that might happen, that's all right. But to have fear and to have a certain sense of hopelessness, that is not Christian. Because the Lord always delivers his people. He delivered the entire world in this sort of hidden way. A woman who was born openly to some, but not to most of the world. And he was born in obscurity. And he grew up in obscurity. And yet now, the sound of the apostles has gone forth over all the world. So let's remember this. Because we are in a midst of a waiting period. There's always a waiting period for Christians. We're waiting for our death. We're waiting for the second coming of our Lord. Perhaps now we're waiting for further societal chaos and control of the atheists and the evil powers. Perhaps that will happen. It appears that it will. It certainly is appearing, it is certainly happening in some places in the world. And really, there's never been a time when it hasn't happened in the world. Perhaps it will come to our shores. And if it does, God will give us the strength to be able to endure. And there will be a short period. It will seem like a long period to us, but it will not be. a short period of troubles, difficulties, perhaps imprisonments, perhaps tortures, death. But after this short period, God will deliver us, because he always does. This is what the Nativity of the Mother of God really speaks to me most today. Because I think that we experience every feast, really every bit of scripture, every sermon that we hear, every reading of the fathers, it's all in the context of who we are and where we are and what we are experiencing. Everything's in that context. So in our context, there could be some very black clouds coming. And if they do, God will deliver us in his timing, and it will not be a short time. It will appear to be a short time to us. But just as it was only a few years from the birth of the Theotokos till the resurrection, so it will be for us. Perhaps it'll be that long. Perhaps it'll be basically, 35 years, maybe? Or 45 years, excuse me, maybe? Maybe it'll be 2 years, or maybe it'll be 2 months. Or maybe one of us will be delivered, and despite our sins, be in paradise tomorrow. We don't know. But we do know that God is over all and has a plan, and his plan will not be subverted. We have plans. They don't always go as according as we plan. But God's plan is according to his will, and his will cannot be denied. So let's remember that on the birth of the Theotokos, that this is the beginning of everything being made new. And indeed, the beginning of everything being made new is happening for you right now today. If we really believe this, we would live carefree lives, even in the midst of all the cares of the world. Through the prayers of the Holy Theotokos, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen. This was a homily from St. Nicholas Orthodox Church, McKinney, Texas. Orthodox.net is our website, and the sermons are found at orthodox.net/sermons, and on YouTube they are found at orthodox.net. God bless you. This is Priest Seraphim.